probably just felt his groin tightening up again. We're hopeful that Mark will train today. And the reason for today is we believe we probably brought him back last week too early, but we were really strapped, as you know, for players. And he felt good going into Tuesday, just felt it tighten up. So hopefully the precautionary measure on Tuesday of taking him off makes him train today and tomorrow and be available for Bristol City on Saturday.
Has there been any fresh, aside from him, injury or illness problems since Tuesday night?
Well, we seem to be back in terms of full personnel, as I know, and phoning in with the sickness bug that was in the camp, which is good. And knowing, you know, we'll know a little bit more today in terms of weight retention, etc., what the virus has taken out three or four lads. But overall, that seems to be fine. And if anything, we're a much healthier state for this weekend than we were for last weekend.
We've spoken over sort of the last couple of press conferences about players who are there or thereabouts to return to training today. Do you expect Milson, Worrell, etc. to be playing again today?
Well, David Worrell had 45 minutes in the reserves on Monday and seemed to come through that okay. He said his day off, and then when we went up to Fleetwood and he trained a double session with our youngsters yesterday to keep him going, he'll have another double session with our youngsters today, and then he'll be stepped back up with the first team for Friday. And then we hopeful as we go forward into next week with David, then that's him back in full availability, if you like. In respect to Rob Milson, we're hopeful, well, he will train today. Let's see where we are at the end of that training session. Michael O'Connor will be back in training today, but it'll be Monday before he's in full training. That's, I think, is a full update for you.
I mean, there is a plus side to all this in the fact that, yes, that I suppose they have been missed over recent matches, but having had a break in some respects, they'll be slightly fresher going into what is a more demanding time over Christmas.
Yeah, this is a real key period for us. You know, I think if we look all bar to the date 12 months ago, I think we were about 10th in League 2. A lot of people questioning where we were going to be. Well, today we move forward 12 calendar months and we're in 6th place in League 1 with an opportunity to keep ourselves in the pack till January. And how tough that is going to be is probably a great reason why we're in League 1 if you look at the quality of opposition, Andy. You know, Bristol City on Saturday, followed by Wolverhampton Wanderers, followed by Bradford City, Port Vale, then Coventry. It doesn't get any better while you're in League 1. And to get better than that, you have to be in the Championship. And we have to look after ourselves in this next 4 or 5 week period and make sure we have enough points on the board that when I want to be active in January, and our chairman wants us to be active in January in terms of how we strengthen our squad. And we're working on some things now, but we have to keep ourselves in real contention in what is arguably our toughest run of fixtures in the season.
So how many irons in the fire do you have then for January?
We have several irons in the fire, because if you only need one or two in the following, you're left with a rice pudding in your face, aren't you? You know. But from our point of view, we're working on a number of key areas that we see we can strengthen the team and strengthen the squad. And always remember, as best we can, our criteria has to be that not only do we get value for money, but we're hoping that we'll add players that will come in and be able to be almost automatically get into the team. Then they have to stay in there through performances, but it has to be player that look better than what we've got, and not just adding more of the same, because adding more of the same gives us no more quality.
Is it? I wonder, and I know we've addressed this a few times, but just as a different aside to, you've got the three lads in from a recent Premier League club, an FA Cup holder, and two who are still at a Premier League club. Presumably that's quite expensive, even though they're not necessarily in their first team plans right now. Is it going to be difficult to keep them?
No, it's not difficult to keep them, and it's well within our structure. The chairman and the Paul Douglas and the people who run it behind the scenes are delighted with the help we've had from both of those senior clubs to bring those players here. So, you know, it's early days for those players. We have another almost a month, if you like, before we have to make a decision whether we first and foremost want to keep them, secondly whether they want to stay, and thirdly, was the parent clubs happy for them to stay. But, you know, they're the type of players that we want to add to our squad as we go forward.
Just to go back to this run of fixtures that you have coming up, and of course nothing's definitive now, but a bad run, and I suppose it could be detrimental to the playoffs, couldn't it, if things aren't successful over the course of the next 5 or 6 matches?
Well, if you're going to lose 5 or 6 league games in a row, it's going to be very difficult to pick it up in January and get yourself back in the playoff group. But I think, hand on heart, and I don't think there's too many Miller supporters around that would have thought, as we go to Bristol City on the 14th of December, we'd be sitting in the playoffs. And I think I heard all the words of consolidation, etc., inside the club and outside the club, as we went over last summer. And ourselves as a management team, and more importantly, our players all believed that, you know, we're a little bit of luck, and we've carried no luck, but we're a little bit of luck, we could force ourselves into that playoff group. So we have to make sure that in this month of fixtures, we accrue enough points. And that's going to be tough, because I have absolutely highest regard for each and every one of those clubs that we're going to play.
Before we come on to Bristol City, the goalkeeper, Adam Collin, wasn't his night at Fleetwood. We know that. What have you said to him since then about what's happened? And I suppose, does he stay in this weekend?
Well, we've said very little to him. We said very little to him when he was magnificent for the last 6 weeks. And I think there would nobody had more of a sleepless night other than me. Probably the only person other than South Yorkshire would have been Adam Collin. And he's a quiet man as he goes about his business. And I'll have a chat with him later today, and I'll reinvigorate him, and I'll restate to him how highly I regard him and how much we think of him. And he knows that the errors have put us at the GPT, but in saying that, his excellent goalkeeping has put us in the top six in League One. And if we're being honest, if you said to me we're going to go to Wembley, if it was the Johnson's Paint Trophy, or would it be the League One playoff final, do me a favour.
So the next challenge then is Bristol City under new management then, so I suppose you've got to contend with that, and everybody seems to raise their game when the new gaffer takes over.
Well, I've seen that first hand. I had a look at them at Tamworth at the weekend, and there was an immediate change straight away. They suddenly playing with two people up front. They've had one up front all season under Sean O'Driscoll, but with Steve Cottrell, he's a man I regard highly as a person. Forget first and foremost about him in football, as a person. Secondly, Harry Redknapp, don't add you to his staff unless he thinks you've got something to bring to the party. And I think he was very unlucky at Nottingham Forest, Steve. I think he had to sell some players to keep that club in a stable position. But he's gone there, it'll suit him geography-wise, it'll suit him club-size, and I'm sure he'll have more than done his homework and be ready for us on Saturday, as hopefully we've done for them.
Where's the connection there then? How do you know him?
Just in the managerial circuit. First came across Steve when he was manager of Cheltenham, and we staggered what he got out at probably at that time, some average players, and he made them, I think he got them up through the playoffs, but he made them play some weeks like champions when I watched them. And he's a very motivated character. He's a coaching school manager. He's someone when I'm around games, watching games, and the few times I've been in his company, because I don't know him, but the few times I've been in his company, he speaks, in my opinion, absolute sense, and has a similar thought process when we talk about players as I do.
Are you surprised that Bristol City are down there? I mean, from the outside looking in, they had a manager who'd achieved an awful lot of success at a couple of different clubs. They've got a bit of money down there. There's some very gifted attacking players upon their books, and yet here they are in the relegation zone.
I don't think there's anyone with a football brain who doesn't think that Bristol City, at the start of the season, would have been in the top three, and maybe even considered to be the champions. And not only did they have a good squad of players when they got relegated, but they cleared some out, but Sean O'Driscoll spent a lot of money in adding back to that squad, and Bristol City backed him. And I think they probably backed him as long as they could and didn't see any changing. So the answer is they've got a top-class squad. They've got a fantastic fan base. You know, Bristol City's flying perhaps like they were under Gary Johnson a few seasons ago. There'll be sellouts every week down there, but there'll be 14,000-15,000 passionate Bristol City supporters in the ground for Steve's first home game, and they'll be right behind them. But it's fair to say my players here tend to like the big games. The big players in our group tend to perform in the big games, and we're going to need that to come away with adding to our points tally on Saturday. But as I said to you, this is one of five or six matches that's now key, but the only one we can focus on is Bristol City.
So do you have an idea as to how they might line up? Because, and again, only really harking back historically, Sean's got his ideas, and that they're very definite about how he likes teams to get the ball down and play. Do you expect this team to try and do the same? Or do you expect Steve Cottrell to have had some change to what they're doing?
Well, he's changed it immediately. He's changed it from a very structured 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 was the system that Sean deployed for most, if not all, of the season. And we go to Tamworth, and straight away Steve's introduced a four-man diamond in midfield. And of course Ryan Taylor, we know someone very well, has come back from injury, was up top with young Sam Baldock, who's a player that since he's Milton Keynes Dons. Again, I don't think there's a manager in League One who wouldn't want Sam Baldock in their squad. So, and the boy Emmanuel Thomas, he can be what he wants to be. I've just described him earlier as Emmanuel Thomas. I don't know from Adam, but he is a young man that wasn't born with 2 feet. He was born with a right foot and a magic wand. That's his left foot, it's a magic wand. So I can imagine the midwife when young Emmanuel was born saying, this is unusual, we've got a right foot here and a magic wand. And that's what he's got, and that's how good I think he is. But we can't pay particular attention to Emmanuel Thomas if you've got Ryan Taylor on the field, as someone admired here when he was a Millers player. And you can't do that when you've got Sam Baldock on the pitch. And that's no including for the experienced midfield players I've got, who have all to a man played a lot of championship football.